The content found on thebestdayever.com from David Wolf and New Horizon Health, Inc. is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as treatment cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be construed as such because that would be illegal. Always work with a qualified health professional before making any changes to your diet, supplement use, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. Please understand that you assume all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Lucian Gauthier, and I'm here with a very special guest, Dr. Dave Wojnarowski. And Dr. Dave is here today to talk to us about the secrets of sleep. Dr. Dave has been a featured speaker at our Longevity Now conferences. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Dave. It's great to have you, as always.
Thank you for having me, Lucian. As always, it's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Dave, most people, when they think about sleep, it's sort of an underestimated cause of ill health, ill ease, disease, and other conditions. And when you go into the doctor's office, not a lot is done to sort of break that misconception that, you know, if you're not getting a good night's sleep, it's not that big a deal. You kind of just roll with it. And for some people, it starts to become part of their everyday life where they're just not sleeping well, and they might mention it casually here or there from time to time. But really, people don't appreciate the dramatic effects that not sleeping properly can have on their health. So can we just go into that first of all and sort of address how this is not really brought to the forefront of our attention when it comes to our health?
Well, first of all, Lucian, you're absolutely right. It is one of the most neglected areas of human health. It's certainly one of the most neglected areas of anti-aging therapy. And I've been trying to get the anti-aging community and, of course, the world at large to recognize that. And pretty much most medical doctors will focus only on obstructive sleep apnea or the rarer cases of narcolepsy, which occasionally may show up. The rest of it is kind of brushed under the table. It's like being 10 or 15 pounds overweight. People just kind of in the medical office don't talk about it, and you know, good enough is good enough. And we have a real social paradigm for sleep deprivation, Lucian. We've got first of all, one of the things that happens normally in aging is you sleep less, and that's primarily due to the decrease of hormone secretion of melatonin, one of the master sleep hormones in the body. So that's going on as we get older. We have an incredibly interactive society in a very funny way, and by that I mean we have all these distractions, social networking, et cetera, et cetera. And all this sort of keyed up human interaction with not a lot of downtime. And one of the very first things that goes in even early adult life is sleep. It's sort of the thing that people can sacrifice or feel they can sacrifice most without having immediate health detriment. And that, of course, is really not the case. One of the things I just point out to those of the listeners who are parents is this explosion of so-called energy drinks on the market. Now, our society accepts things like caffeine and other stimulants as being okay. Up until recently, you could buy pseudoephedrine over the counter. Now, of course, it was recognized that it's being used to make methamphetamine. So, but you know, these types of precursors were rampant in our society for several generations, and now our current generation has got the so-called energy drink, which is essentially a disguised form of caffeine. So there's all this stuff out there that takes away from sleep. And you know, as a physician, as an anti-aging physician, but just as even if I weren't an anti-aging physician, one fact that I would want people to know is that 35% of all fatalities, all motor vehicle accidents, airplane accidents, boating accidents, industrial fatalities, involve lack of sleep. And that is in the cases where someone was left to tell the tale. You know, if you're in a fatal car accident and you're the only person in the car and you die because of sleep deprivation causing you to fall asleep at the wheel, there's really no one left to count that. So I suspect the number of fatalities that are directly or indirectly related to sleep deprivation and sleep lack are much, much higher. In my own family, I'm absolutely convinced my older brother, John, who passed away at age 27 in a motor vehicle accident, single car motor vehicle accident, after a shift as a physician at a hospital, you know, being up 24 to 36 hours, I'm absolutely certain he fell asleep at the wheel and was killed as a result of that. So Again, I have no way of proving that because I wasn't in the car and neither was anybody else, but all indications point to that that happening. So there is this very, very meaningful and very direct link between longevity and sleep. The other things that happen to a person, obviously, and this is related to sleep's function. The other things that happen are fatigue, depression, poor mental processing, poor memory and forgetfulness, moodiness, irritability, and just the inability to do even simple tasks to a previous level. And primarily, this has to do with sleep's function as an anabolic period. Most people don't realize this, but when you sleep, your metabolism drops by about 10 or 15%, and your body temperature also drops. Now, those are kind of no-brainers. You would think that, okay, you're taking the major system in the body that's metabolically active, the skeletal muscle, and you're pretty much shutting it down. Most of those muscle movements are either highly subdued or completely shut down. And when you watch somebody who's in deep sleep, they don't move. The skeletal muscle system is by far, I would say, 85% of the metabolic calorie demand of the body. So when you shut that down, you would think that your metabolic rate would go way, way down. Well, it doesn't go down nearly as much as you'd think in sleep pollution because the body is rampant with rebuilding processes. So all of our rebuilding processes happen during sleep. So you're probably going to be more injury prone. It's been shown that wound healing is delayed when you don't sleep enough. There are all kinds of immediate and deferred effects in terms of your immunity and your tendency to be allergic. And another huge one for your health and very, very near and dear to my heart as an anti-aging physician is obesity. Many people don't realize that the primary hormone secretion of your body, especially those hormones that are only secreted more or less once a day in a big burst, occurs somewhere between 0400 and 0500 when you're asleep. If you disrupt that, you're asking for obesity and fat accumulation, and you're also asking for a chronic stress response in your body, which is inflammation. And chronic inflammation, as we know, is one of the major causes of aging. And there are obviously some specific sleep disorders, but these are the kinds of things that will affect anybody. And I'd remind everyone out there that at some time or another, 50% of the country has reported at least short-term sleep issues. And I would suspect, again, that number is much, much higher, probably equals that for chronic sleep issues. So there's an awful lot of everything pretty much from the standpoint of aging and health can be tied to sleep. It should be up there with nutrition and exercise. You know, we talk about these pillars of health. We talk about nutrition. We talk about supplementation. We talk about exercise. We talk about stress relief. We talk about meditation. You know, sleep is in there. And I should also finally mention when it comes right down to it that my favorite topic, the telomere, is directly affected by the quality of sleep. I predicted this in our book, The Immortality Edge. I said sooner or later someone's going to do a study that shows this. And lo and behold, since the publication of the book, I found several studies that link shorter telomere lengths to poorer quality sleep, if not shorter duration. So, if you want it from specific health problems, high blood pressure, heart disease, congestive heart failure, depression, anxiety, and obesity, probably all the inflammatory illnesses can be made worse, such as diabetes and arthritis and et cetera, et cetera. There's the specifics. And then you want the anti-aging aspect of it. It's hormones and it's telomere length and it's chronic inflammation. So it's pretty broad.
And Dr. Dave, this reminds me of back in the days when I was really overweight and I had a lot of trouble sleeping. And it seemed to me that the more that I had problems sleeping, the easier it was for me to gain weight. And I'm not sure if that was due to a hormone cascade of estrogen buildup and that causing difficulty getting rid of some of that unwanted pounds and then that extra weight causing my inability to fall asleep and kind of getting caught in a catch-22 there. What can you say regarding, you know, how we can get into this downward spiral, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, there's some studies looking at melatonin, which is our major sleep-inducing hormone, and specific effects on hormones and hormone imbalances. Again, it's probably worth mentioning that absolute levels of hormones may go down and they may go up, but it's the balance. And you mentioned estrogen dominance. For men, of course, estrogen dominance can cause obesity and feminine characteristics. And it's one of the things that happens in men as they age, and some of that has to be due to sleep issues. Again, melatonin being secreted less for women, and also for men in a different way. The estrogen dominance that can occur in this situation can lead to increased estrogen metabolites. Specifically, the one that we don't want is known as estrone, and there's a couple varieties of it, but the one that we don't want is the one that causes breast cancer, and in men, prostate cancer. And so that's the 16-hydroxyestrone metabolite that goes up with sleep deprivation. It's and of course just the whole issue of being fatigued and not being able to really do exercise. And then finally, when you don't sleep and the chronic inflammation that occurs because of the stress response, Lucian, not just the hormonal response, but the stress response on your body begins to conserve calories just like it does when you're dieting, which is why people hit plateaus. So it begins to conserve calories and slow down your daytime metabolism to make up for the lack of anabolic nighttime metabolism that it can't sustain. So you essentially become not all that dissimilar to somebody who's starving or who's on a diet where their body says, okay, I'm going to conserve fat because that's my most valuable resource here.
And Dr. Dave, everyone knows what it feels like when you have a really bad night's sleep, really just tossing and turning, or you've been pulling all-nighters, or you've been sleeping really poorly for a couple of days straight. When you walk around, you have that icky feeling, you feel like you're sore, you feel a little, it's almost like a stomach ache, you have a headache. It's just that icky feeling that occurs. What's happening with our telomeres on a DNA level if we put our body through that on a regular basis?
Well, because that icky feeling is associated with a chronically inflamed state, and you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because the icky feeling, if you think about it, is not unlike if you've ever gone out and run like twice as far as you really should or done some form of exercise. You get a malaise, a fatigue, global body fatigue, and you get some muscle aches and sometimes some joint aches. People get headaches from this. Obviously, migraine sufferers are severely affected by this kind of thing. But what that is, essentially, Lucian, is the immediate inflammatory response of your body saying, I don't like this, this is bad for me. Now, what is it doing to our telomeres? Well, our telomeres shorten every time our cells divide. And this is inevitable unless you're taking something like TA65 and possibly some other things out there which haven't been proven yet. But when your cells divide, you have an obligatory loss of telomere segment. And the telomere is the biologic time clock. So it basically speeds up the aging of that cell. It pushes it towards a condition called senescence, where that cell can no longer reproduce and become part of the effective part of your body. We certainly don't want to accelerate that process because that's directly linked to the aging process. Less cell mass, less effective cell mass to do the jobs that we have leads to all kinds of problems. And that also, by the way, aging in itself, as I mentioned in some of the talks at the conferences that you and David and Rebecca and Len put on, the Longevity Now conferences, you know, I spoke about aging being an inflammatory process. So it really pushes this aging process at the telomere level. This is the subcellular level, the nuclear level. It pushes that forward. And because it's inflammatory again, it changes what we call the epigenetic makeup or expression of our genes. I spoke about epigenetics a couple of years ago. I predicted it would be a gigantic science in the near future. It is becoming that now. And what that is, Lucian, is that's really, in a nutshell, the epigenetic makeup or the epigenome is a bunch of stuff that lays over your genes and allows them to be read or not read. So I liken it to, okay, your genes are the library. Your genetic material is a library, and the epigenetics are the books you check out and read. And it's also the place where your environment interacts directly with your genes. And finally, it's the thing that gives our genetic material incredible variability and incredible ability to adapt to conditions that you wouldn't have if this genetic map called DNA was the only thing at play here. So once again, sleep affects all those things, telomeres, epigenetics, repair functions. And obviously, lack of sleep pushing the aging process faster and more aggressively than it should.
And Dr. Dave, one thing that came to mind was the relationship between a proper night's sleep and proper omega-3 levels. If our omega-3 levels are out of whack, it seems like maybe we wouldn't be experiencing the best sleep ever because of an inflammation problem, as you mentioned before. I think about times when I've had trouble sleeping, and sometimes my remedy has been to eat like a heavy, you know, nut butter or almonds or cashews or something with a high fat content in order to fall asleep quicker. Is there a relationship between fats and sleep, and specifically omega-3s?
Well, fat, and I mean, again, when you talk about fat, you really have to sort of classify the different types of fats. But let's talk directly about omega-3s. We've been harping on inflammation a lot because it is a central role. It has a central role in aging the body. And most of us, or many of the people listening certainly, are running around in a chronically inflamed state. And most of those people, and I, you know, not to pick on the raw food vegans, but David's group of devotees and followers was nice enough to participate in a recent study where we had them do the ideal omega-3 tests, and they were very, very low on omega-3s and much, much higher on omega-6s, and you'd expect this given them diet. So in a sense, they're reflecting what is a common situation out there among people who eat anything. And that is a very low omega-3 level and a very high omega-6 level. And in order to balance that ratio out, it's been measured and formulated that about 6 grams a day of the omega-3s is necessary. Now, what does that do? Well, that restores the inflammatory, anti-inflammatory balance in your body, which is good on so many more levels. And I know we've talked about this in the previous interviews, Lucian, so I won't get into it now, but I will point out one thing, and that is that the omega-3 fatty acids in fish oil, EPA and DHA, are intimately involved with hormone secretion because of their role in the membranes and the membrane receptors, and also more or less directly involved in serotonin levels. And serotonin is this very important calming, it's not necessarily sleep inducing, but it's a calming hormone, and people who are depressed are often depleted from their serotonin. I would venture to say many of them have sleep deprivation as a cause or an inciting or at least worsening factor in the depression. But serotonin levels can be raised simply by increasing the intake of fish oil. So fish oil alone may be a very good first step for people, especially people who are sensitive to any kind of sleep-inducing agents or have problems with daytime somnolence, you know, if they take a sleeping aid or a sleep drug. So fish oil is a great place to start for sleep depression, restoration.
That would be a really interesting sleep study to do, a study where they take a control group of people with proper omega-3 levels or optimum omega-3 levels, and then another group of people with inflammation and not enough omega-3s.
I agree, and I think you'd see, as you often do with the omega-3s, more or less independent of other variables, a real improvement. And when I say independent of other variables, I mean things like their natural tendencies, their natural genetic tendencies to need sleep, the use or non-use of stimulants, stimulant use in the form of caffeine or other stimulants, very, very common in our society. I think independent of all those things, you'd see an improvement. But it would be a fascinating study. You mentioned sleep study, Lucian. Let me just say that some of the initial work on sleep wizard was done as a result of some sleep studies and sleep labs. So we do have some science behind this.
So, Dr. Dave, let's just jump into that product. A lot of the people out there, you know, have experience with, you know, over-the-counter sleep medications, maybe even prescription sleep medications. And I think everyone would agree that when you take those, you experience some unwanted side effects. And you put together this formula that uses four main natural ingredients, melatonin being one of the more common ones and well-known ones, and tryptophan as well. Let's talk about the ingredients of this formula and the reason why you chose them and how they work together synergistically to give the desired effect of a good, long, deep sleep.
Okay, it's really important to take this product as a whole. The individual ingredients have some phenomenal benefits in laboratory studies, and we can certainly go over those. But again, this is a product that has four separate ingredients. And one of the things that people may notice is that with the exception of GABA, which is the first ingredient, gamma-aminobutyric acid, which is the major inhibitory neurotransmitter in the brain. This is the thing that shuts down the cortex, or what they call the monkey mind, the thing that's constantly moving and thinking. So people out there who have problems, you know, with what I call thought regurgitation, where they lay down to sleep and they go over things and over things and over things. It's sort of obsessive compulsive thought regurgitation. GABA, it works wonders to shut that down. That's in a pretty hefty dose. All of the other things that are in there, the theanine, and we use sun theanine because I found that to be the best, highest quality product on the market. We actually do pay a little more for it because it is a branded product, but it's been studied more than any other theanine out there. And all of the theanine material that comes from any commercial preparations, they've used some theanine in those tests. I mean, there's a lot of laboratory studies where they've simply used just garden variety L-theanine, but when someone has undertaken to look at the supplement market and say, okay, which ones work, which ones don't, some theanines always come up roses. And then the other ingredients are 5-HTP or 5-hydroxytryptophan and melatonin. But these other three ingredients, the 5-HTP, the melatonin, and the sun theanine, are present in relatively smaller amounts than you would see if you were buying a single capsule. For instance, if you go out and buy melatonin, you're going to buy a 1 milligram, a 3 milligram, or a 10 milligram capsule. We use 500 micrograms. That's half of a milligram. It's a very small amount. And so all of these ingredients have been scaled to be synergistic to each other based on early sleep lab stuff, and then, of course, lots of positive feedback. We've adjusted this compound multiple times before it was released. And it's really the synergy between all four compounds that makes this so special. And, you know, since it works like magic, and that was what one of my patients said to me, this works like magic, that was the thing that stimulated the name Sleep Wizard, because it works like magic.
It really does. And to prepare for this interview, I did, in fact, use some Sleep Wizard. I did perform a test. I'm not big, and I've never been big on doing anything other than, like I mentioned before, eating like a big meal. If I need to sleep, I'll eat a big meal, wait 20 minutes and go to bed, which Truth Calkins has warned me not to do to lose weight. But anyway, I've never been a big fan of those things because of the grogginess that I felt the next morning after taking melatonin, which is what I've typically done. So I stopped doing it, you know, a while ago. And so, you know, yesterday I did my hardcore workout. I had an early morning, so I was up really early. I stayed up a little later than normal, and I took the Sleep Wizard. I don't even remember. I remember putting the glass of water on my nightstand. And the next thing I know, my alarm's going off for this interview, and I'm a little bit panicked because I'm, you know, wondering how long my alarm's been going off. And the first thing I checked for, the very first thing I scanned my body and mind for, was that feeling of grogginess, and I did not have it.
Yeah, absolutely, Lucian. And you know, this is the goal in this synergistic formula, a couple of goals. Number one, when people have sleep issues, they usually have trouble either getting asleep or staying asleep. So the combination of these ingredients is designed to induce sleep rapidly, but also to help people stay asleep. More importantly, and this was the hard part, was getting the sleep phases right, because we sleep in phases. We have four non-REM phases and one REM phase. And disruptive sleep is just as damaging. As a matter of fact, in the telomere studies, it wasn't the amount of time that you slept so much as it was the actual cycling of your sleep and how disrupted or non-disrupted that was that led to telomere shortening being accelerated or not. So again, at the subcellular nuclear level, we have evidence for sleep, the cycling of sleep playing a role in that. So one of the goals with the sleep wizard was to try to balance out the cycles and try to make sure that people got an appropriate amount of REM sleep. There are people out there, Lucian, who only need to sleep 5 hours. And, you know, you say to yourself, if you're not one of them, how can that possibly be? And, oh, I'm so jealous, you know. It's true. They're not hurting themselves. They're not damaging themselves. And what you would find if you could measure things for them, number one, you'd see normal sleep patterns, non-disrupted. You'd see an appropriately lowered body temperature coinciding with a high level of melatonin secretion. Now, these people may be lucky or genetically predisposed, or they may just have this thing wired. But so it's not really the amount of sleep is what I'm trying to say here. It's the proportions of the cycles. And that's where Sleep Wizard is so different than everything else out there. It's designed to have appropriate cycling and increase the percentage of REM sleep so that you feel more rested and you don't wake up with that daytime somnolence. That daytime somnolence is you waking up at an inappropriate time during sleep, in the middle of a cycle, in the middle of a phase that you should not be disturbed in. Mm. So even people who have shift work and, you know, can only sleep 4 or 5 hours a day in their case, and it is daytime because they're, you know, shift working at night, or if they swing shift, it's even worse. Sleep Wizard is ideal for those people because it restores or helps restore that proportion of REM sleep, and that's what it was designed to do. Now, again, nothing works for everybody all the time, but that's how I designed this, and it took some finagling to get it to do that. But for the majority of people, that works, and what you get is a great night's sleep, however long it is. It can be, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and you can wake up feeling refreshed and not groggy or tired. And that's really the art of this, art and science of this thing. And I think that's really what makes it different. Again, nothing works for everybody all the time. But, you know, when you're making a supplement, you're trying to design in the things that solve people's problems. Staying asleep is one of them. Getting to sleep is another. And then what they really, and that's how they describe it. Waking up feeling tired, no matter how long you sleep, is another example of what I just talked about. For the person who has a limited amount of time to sleep or who has disruptive sleep and, you know, can sleep 7, 8, 9 hours and not feel refreshed, or for the person who commonly feels groggy after the fact of taking something for sleep, whether it be a drug or a supplement, this is what Sleep Wizard really is designed to answer.